Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's guest is probably the most controversial figure in the world today. He's been called the most poisonous spreader of hate and venom now alive, and has also been called a leader in Great American by many people who listen to him and believe him. He is ex-Navy Commander George Lincoln Rockwell. Commander Rockwell, I understand that you were a Navy fighter pilot in both World War II and Korea, and you won a lot of decorations in combat. Yet today, you call yourself the Commander. I believe that's the correct title. You're leading a group of young men who call themselves Nazis. Now, how do you explain this? How can you call yourself Americans and also Nazis at the same time?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but the first and most important one is that being a Nazi doesn't make you a German any more than being a follower of Jesus Christ would make you an Israeli, because Christ was an inhabitant of Palestine. The main reason that we use the name is because the Nazis first advanced and fought for the idea that the white race is a master race, a super race, which was able to build white Western Christian civilization. And I think most Americans understand and believe that. There's nothing wrong with that idea. It's a simple truth. And those words, master race and super race, have been smeared by our enemies, the Jews, who are promoting race mixing. And I think it's insane for us to allow them to divorce us, to divide us, from the man who first fought for those ideas and the brave men who went down before the communist hordes fighting for it. You must remember, I originally left Brown University in 1940 to go fight Hitler because they told me that he was out to conquer the world and we had to save Poland and Czechoslovakia and so forth. So what I did was I went out and I helped to murder millions of my fellow white Christian, anti-communist, racist German brothers in order to help save a criminal gang of atheists, murdering, anti-Christian, communist, Bolshevik race mixers, who now boast that they will bury us, and who are doing it. I might ask you, who has Poland now, the Poland that I went to save, and who has Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, East Germany, Albania, Yugoslavia, China, North Korea, and now even Cuba, 90 miles away from our own coast. Actually, we got into World War II because Franklin D. Roosevelt pushed us into it, with a phony, planned attack and the murder of over 3,000 American boys at Pearl Harbor in order to help save Russia. The evidence for that Pearl Harbor disaster is now all in and has been written by American admirals with an advance, or rather a foreword, by Admiral Nimitz himself. There's no question about it. We were pushed into World War II in order to stop Hitler's anti-communist, pro-racist war against Russia. If we hadn't been pushed into that war, there would now be no Cold War, there would be no arms race, there would be no communist colossus, there'd be no communist riots in the Congress or any place else. We would not be facing the prospect that the so-called conservatives are always putting out, I'd rather be dead than red, and we'd have to decide between being dead and red, because there would be no reds, there would be nothing but dead reds. Hitler completely wiped communism out of Germany. He put all the communists in the concentration camps. That was the end of them. Finally, I found out that the same gang that pushed us into war with Russia is the same gang that is now preaching peace and coexistence right now to us. And in fact, they invite Khrushchev to the White House. It's the same gang that smeared and destroyed and lied about Father Coughlin. They lied about Henry Ford and smeared him. They lied about and smeared Congressman Rankin, Martin Dies, the great Senator McCarthy. They lied about Douglas MacArthur, and they put him in the ash can of history. They got him fired. And now even General Walker, and even Robert Welch, who has done very little, really, compared to some of these other men, even these people are lied about in exactly the same way as they lie about Adolf Hitler. And me, anybody, in fact, who fights communism and race mixing and actually hurts the enemy is called a Nazi and a fascist. All you have to do is look through a few years' copies of the Communist Worker newspaper. And I might point out also, long before I came into existence, a lot of right-wingers claim that my job is to get these people smeared as Nazis and fascists. Well, all you have to do is look at the Worker newspapers. In fact, a lot of the other newspapers which follow the Worker line, like the Washington Post many times, and you will find them calling Senator Joe McCarthy a Nazi and a fascist long before anybody ever heard of Rockwell or the American Nazi Party. I think it's simply time for us to quit being afraid of these smears, these communist Jewish smears. It's time to spit in their eye. And if it means that you are a Nazi and a fascist because you fight for a white Christian America who will have no part of communism and race mixing, well then, by George, let's be Nazis. What we've got to realize, I feel, is that there is a war, an actual hot war going on right now in which people are being killed between the white Christian West and the Jewish-led massed millions of the rebellious colored hordes of the earth who are rising to slaughter and murder white people under the banners of communism. There isn't any middle ground. There is no place for conservatives and liberals in this thing because it's a battle of terror. People are being slaughtered all over this world right now by the communists. They have no idea of arguing their way to power. They do it by terrorism. And you simply can't fight them with petitions and pretty words. You are either for the white Christian West or you are for the black communist slave world under the leadership of the Jews. Now, Hitler, Adolf Hitler, was the first man to actually beat communism and beat it to death and drive it out of Germany. And for doing this, the same gang which destroyed MacArthur, and lies about these men keeps telling the same kind of lies about Adolf Hitler. The whole South, the whole U.S. South, certainly knows how they get lied about all the time in the press and the TV and so forth. And yet many of these same Southerners who know how they're lied about will persist in believing the steady Jewish propaganda put out by the Jews about Adolf Hitler by the same people and the same kind of lies. I simply can't understand this. Adolf Hitler fought the first major battle in the world race war that we are facing. And he fought for the white race and against communism. And I think we are crazy to be suckered into believing and spreading the Jews' lies about him for the benefit of communist Jews and Negro criminals. I think that it's about time we recognize that Adolf Hitler was the foremost savior, the political savior of the world for white, Western, Christian civilization against the communist, atheist, Bolshevik race mixers who have almost conquered the earth. I think that the right-wingers who continue to pretend that Adolf Hitler was such an evil man, just as the Jews keep doing, people like William F. Buckley, for instance, who was always insinuating that communism and Nazism are exactly the same thing, at the same time that he and his group love to go to Spain. His brother-in-law is always going over there. These right-wingers that are so fervid in their hatred of Adolf Hitler at the same time they claim that Nazism is the same thing as communism should remember what happened when the communists attacked Spain. Bernard Baruch, for instance, helped to finance the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And from all over the world came Reds and Bolsheviks. One of them, for instance, was Bela Kun, the Jew who took over as the dictator of Hungary after World War I. These Reds and Jews attacked Christian Spain and the so-called Republican Army, and Spain was designed to be the pivot of the communist revolution in Europe. And Germany, anti-communist, Christian Germany, would have been outflanked with communists on both sides of it, and Europe would have fallen to the communist church burners, the nun rapers, the vile kind of swine who went down there to Spain and actually did burn churches and murder thousands of Christians and priests. These people would have succeeded had it not been for the bombs and the guns and the brave men that Adolf Hitler sent down there to fight them. We didn't fight them. There was Mr. Buckley and his group, none of these so-called right-wingers that are so eager to hate Adolf Hitler, they weren't down there fighting him. The people, just as we were fighting the Reds the other day in the committee, not in the committee, but at the Presidential Arms Hotel where they were having a treason rally. Our people were the only people who dared to stand up to these Reds. And in the same way, Hitler went down there to Spain and saved Spain for the white Christian West. And this is the place that so many of Mr. Buckley's group and family like to go for their vacations, to Christian Spain, which was saved and preserved for our side by Adolf Hitler. I think it's about time we stop smearing the man that did this sort of thing and that saved, that gave us time to organize our defenses for white Western Christian civilization.
Well, Commander Rockwell, wouldn't you do better to use another name, say something like the American Patriot Society or perhaps the Citizens Committee for the White Race or maybe even the States' Rights Council or something of that sort?
Well, I was a conservative for about 5 or 6 years, and I discovered that the chief problem of the conservatives was that they were never able to reach the masses at all. They mostly were busy passing literature to each other and holding private meetings, and nothing that we ever did broke through the press barrier. Nothing was ever reported in the press. Everything that the Jews and Negroes and communists did was spread all over the world, just like the recent march on Washington, D.C. They get all the publicity that can be possibly mustered up for them while the right wing is just blacked out of the press. by the fact, because of the fact that, for instance, ABC, CBS, and NBC, our only three television networks, are all the chairman of the boards of all of them are Russian Jews. And for this reason, the biggest problem that the right wing has is to reach the people with something, no matter what it is, to reach them. And I found out that if you are simply a so-called patriot and a conservative and a right winger and you call yourself the Patrick Henry Society or that sort of thing, nobody pays any attention to you. You can't buy any advertising. You simply can't reach the people. So the first problem is to break what we call the paper curtain, to smash your way through into the consciousness of the masses of people, into the masses of millions of Americans, at least get to know who you are and something about you. Now, in doing this, by calling ourselves Nazis, using the swastika and the dramatic tactics in the street that we use, perhaps the people get a false impression of us, but at least they get some impression, some idea that we exist and that we are dedicated, fanatic opponents of communism and race mixing. Of course, the Jews always present it in terms that we want to kill all these people and deport the Negroes and so forth, but that is a minor matter compared to the fact that with no money, with no help, and against the hostility of what seems practically almost the whole world, we have bashed our way up to the point where we are well known to millions and millions of Americans. And we stand in the minds of these people for the most fanatic, even bloodthirsty, opposition to communism and race mixing that there is. And this is exactly what we want. Because you can't convert a man to your way of thinking until you can at least reach him. And we maintain that the conservatives and the nice right-wingers have never reached the common man. The ordinary man in the street has never heard of, Mr. Buckley, for instance. I doubt that the ordinary carpenter and plumber and so forth ever heard of Mr. Buckley or knows what he's doing. He might possibly have heard a little bit of Mr. Welch, because Mr. Welch, being a millionaire and having many millionaires in his society, has been able to use his money in order to smash some of that press barrier and build up an organization. But the only thing that I had, and when I began, I was all alone and broke. The only thing that I had in order to reach the people was dramatic tactics, and that name and that symbol have helped us do that. In addition, the name and the symbol that we use keeps away from me the cowards and the fakers and the blabbermouths with which, unfortunately, the right wing abounds. There are literally thousands and thousands of drones who swamp a right-wing organization, the so-called patriotic conservative organizations, if you permit them to do it. And this is not what I want. What we want is a hardcore, fanatically dedicated opposite army to the communists. I want young men who are prepared to die, to go to jail, to take any kind of smears, to lose their families. I don't care what they have to suffer, so long as we stand up for white Christian America, and particularly for the white race, under any conditions. I am not building for the conditions now, but I am building a political army that will be able to stand up and fight as the conditions become more and more extreme. We are the most extreme of the extremists, and I think none of the other extremists are extreme enough for the conditions as they will be as we approach world race war and the economic catastrophe, which is what I think is ahead. When this happens, the only right-wing organization in America and in the world will be the World Union of National Socialists, which is our group worldwide, which includes our group in Britain and Belgium and Argentina and Chile and so forth, and the American Nazi Party, which is composed of men who are the exact opposite of the communist fanatics who are out to destroy our republic and our race. Our people are prepared to go to just the same lengths that they are. We are the opposite of the communists. And until we arrived, this country and the world had nothing to equal or be the opposite of the communist army of fanatics and termites who are destroying our race and our nation.
Why do you want to kill all the Jews?
The only thing that we are out to exterminate, and that's the word that is used by our enemies the most, what we are out to exterminate is traitors to the United States of America, to our American Republic, and to the white race, to our people, to our nation as a whole. Now, unfortunately, 85% of the people who have been convicted by American juries of being spies for communist Soviet Russia and the leaders of the communist race-mixing movement, more than 85% of these people have been atheist racial Jews, like the Rosenbergs, Ethel and Julius Rosenbergs, whom we fried in the electric chair. Now, they were not electrocuted because they were Jews, but because they were communist traitors. And the same with the ones that we put in jail, Harry Gold, David Greenglass, Weinbaum, Moskowitz, Koblen that recently fled to Israel, one after the other. These people, the entire major leadership of the communist movement, when you begin to examine it, you find is led mostly by racial atheist Jews, not the Jewish religion. We have no quarrel with the Jewish religion. I don't care what they worship in their so-called synagogue. What I'm concerned with is somebody who is destroying our race and our nation. And unfortunately, a tremendous percentage of Jews are engaged in doing this. They were the people that led the Russian Revolution, where the Russian Revolution was actually the capture of Russia by communist Jews. Trotsky, for instance, was a Jew by the name of Bronstein, who came from the Lower East Side of New York City. And the first ambassador from Russia to the United States is listed in Who's Who in American Jewry. His real name is Finkelstein. And so on, and so most people don't know these sort of things. When you find out, you discover that as a matter of actual fact, that communists and Jews are mixed in so much that you can actually say that communism is Jewish and race mixing is Jewish. This does not mean, however, that all Jews are communists or all communists are Jews. It simply means that the masterminds of communism and race mixing are Jews, just like the chief leaders of so-called gangster organizations in this country have been Sicilians. That doesn't mean that all Sicilians are gangsters or that all gangsters are Sicilians. However, you can truthfully say that the Mafia is an Italian organization. In the same sense, you can say that communism is Jewish. And what we are out to do is to exterminate these traitors to our United States of America and to our white race. And I'm not concerned with whether they're Jewish or Italian or they're from Mars. I don't care what they are. I'm just as anxious to exterminate and gas Alger Hiss and anybody else who can be convicted of treason to this country, according to the law, as I am any single Jew.
Well, Commander, what do you recommend as the solution in the race problem in America?
Well, I don't think that segregation has ever worked in the history of the world. Every nation that has tried living with Negroes has eventually found that there are enough people from both sides who will mix sexually, so that eventually you begin to have a mongrel race. Right now in America, the Negroes boast that 60,000 Negroes who appear to be white men are passing over, as it's called, crossing the color line every year into the white race unbeknownst to us. And I don't think that we can survive even a century of segregation, even if we could maintain it. And on the other hand, of course, integration is utterly impossible. Any person who is really and truly for integration is something that you rarely meet except in our colleges, the hothouse intellectuals who don't know anything about the Negro problem. And incidentally, every time I speak in a college and I see these white girls holding hands with Negroes, and they come up to me and they say, "What's wrong with my boyfriend here? See, he's a fine American," and so forth, I always recommend to these girls that they try walking through their nation's capital some evening from one end to the other. And when they come out on the other end, if they survive, they will be Nazis or at least anti-race mixers like me. I think the only solution to the race problem, segregation won't work, integration is actually a criminal activity in my opinion, the only solution is separation, geographical separation. I think we should take the billions of dollars that we're wasting on so-called foreign aid to communist nations and nations which despise us and nations which are simply, we're building up a tremendous horde of black mouths to feed every year, getting bigger and bigger, so that they can make still more black citizens that there's no place to go and no way to take care of them. Instead of doing this, I think we should give the money to our own Negro citizens to build their own black nation in Africa where they can find their own destiny, where they can be leaders, where they can be first-class citizens that they never can be here, because there will always be a color line here. Either the honest man draws the color line right out in public, and the dishonest man, the hypocrites, like our politicians, draw the color line at their daughter's bedroom door. But they all draw the color line, and the Negroes will never be able to get completely across it unless they manage to mongrelize us entirely, which I doubt. As a result, the only place that they can find dignity and respect and first-class citizenship is in Africa, in their own nation, just as was recommended by Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and even President Lincoln. I think that if we sincerely and truthfully do everything we can to help these people build their own nation in Africa, there will be no necessity to deport anybody. I think that they will volunteer by the millions. Why, even not too long ago, Marcus Garvey got 4 million Negroes to sign up under the so-called Langer Bill to return, just to give the Negroes transportation to return to Africa, and 4 million of them petitioned to go back. I don't think there'll be any problem getting them, great, vast majority of Negroes, voluntarily to repatriate themselves to Africa under a sincere program of help. And on the other hand, I have no intention, when we have gained power by being elected, we propose immediately to set up reservations, as we once did for the Indians, and I think we still do in a lesser sort of a way, and Negroes will be restricted to these reservations where they will be wards of the state, and the constitutional amendment which tries to make citizens of them will be repealed.
Doesn't Nazism stand for dictatorship? How can you be a Nazi under our Constitution?
No, that's one of the places where we differ with Adolf Hitler. I think he probably found dictatorship necessary in Germany because of the utter chaos that was created by the Versailles Treaty and by the communists in Germany. I hope that we won't face that situation. And under our conditions here, I think that the golden mean between the anarchy of the complete left and the tyranny of the complete right is the American Constitutional Republic. With executives and leaders of a masculine and proud nature who are able and willing to stand up like men and lead instead of becoming toadies for the kind of Harvard and Unitarian creeps who will now infest our White House and the executive and judicial branches of our government. What we favor is a return to absolute constitutional government, the way the Constitution was written, not the way the creeps who are now in power are interpreting it and twisting it, but the way the thing was written. I don't think that we need any more power than is already contained in the Constitution to bring order and decency back to a white Christian America.
Would you make any changes in our Constitution when you're elected president?
Yes, we do feel that there must be some changes in the Constitution. The most important is an amendment which will remove the ridiculous situation where a law tries to make Americans out of Africans. I think that's just as ridiculous as trying to make Chinamen out of Africans by passing a law in China. We want to get rid of that amendment and several others, for instance, the income tax amendment, the Marxist-Leninist progressive income tax, and some others. And for this purpose, as soon as we have been elected to power, we will call a constitutional convention to return our Constitution to the situation it was when the very wise founding fathers established it, rather than the way it's been twisted and perverted and amended in recent years by Jews and liberals and race mixers.
Commander, what do you recommend that white racists and right-wingers should do today? Commander, the people who are preaching pretty much the same thing as you do.
Well, I think the most important thing for right-wingers and racists to realize today, the thing that they fail to realize in the most important way, is the need for a balanced political army to fight the enemy. The communists have their gutter fighters, and they have their Harvard professors, and they have their people in the White House, and they have also people in the steel mills with a hard fist to smash you right in the face. The right wing has nothing but the panty waist, drawing room people, and the people who will pass petitions and pass out literature. Until we came along, they had no fighters. The thing the right wing needs to do is to realize that no single group can accomplish the task. It takes all of us, and they've got to quit smearing and blasting each other and gain some unity in the right wing and stand together.
How does one become a member of the American Nazi Party?
Well, we have two classes of membership. The associate members, who are not required to obey party orders and simply are supporters and receive all the literature, and regular stormtroopers. To be a stormtrooper, you have to be 18 years of age, loyal to the Constitution, willing to obey the law, willing to risk your life or do anything that may be necessary to stand up to the communists and race mixers at any time. And they can join by simply writing Box 1381, Arlington, Virginia.